And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, There Is Always Purim, was written by Joseph Mindell and is presented in observance of the Festival of Purim.
There he is! The stage manager's coming out!
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! Today is Purim, children. We go from house to house. Well, we're ready to begin. Ladies and gentlemen, the stage is set. The lights are down. It's time to introduce the players. First to appear and first in our hearts, as good as she is beautiful, Esther.
My only desire is to serve my people.
And now, steadfast and strong, her uncle, Mordecai.
You will find me at the gates when I am needed.
And, of course, there is King Ahasuerus.
Well, laugh if you want to, but a man is entitled to be himself, no matter what. No.
Finally, how would there be Purim if not for him whose villainy makes his very name Haman?
All right, go ahead. I'm used to it. Only why don't you wait and see? Even I, Haman, have the right to a hearing.
Please put away your burgers and your clappers.
Stage manager, it's Purim.
I know, tradition is on your side, but how would you know what happens if you drown out his words every time Haman speaks? There, you've established the principle. Now, no more noise. The curtain opens. The players take their places. Our Purim play begins. In the city of Shushan, in the days of Ahasuerus, who reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, in those days in Shushan, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, a Benjaminite. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, for his own daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The maiden was of beautiful form and fair to look on, and her countenance was radiant as the moon on a starless night. But on this day, in Mordecai's house, there were tears in Esther's eye.
What shall I do when the king's soldiers reach this house?
There's nothing you need do, Esther, except perhaps your hair. A little brushing, maybe?
I'll cut off my hair.
What is wrong, my dear?
Mordecai, I don't want to be queen.
Oh. So that's what it is.
I don't want to go to the palace with the king's soldiers.
Many a girl would be pleased at the opportunity.
Then let them go.
They will. The soldiers are gathering maidens from every province in the kingdom.
But Mordecai, I don't want to be queen.
It may very well be that the king will not choose you.
Oh.
But if he does, my dear, sometimes things happen that we do not want. And sometimes they are for the best.
Open the door.
Help me, Mordecai. Please help me.
Very well, if that's what you want.
In the king's name, open up.
Coming, I'm coming. Hide yourself, Esther, quickly.
You don't have to break down the door.
It took you long enough.
Well, I'm sorry. I was busy.
You know why I'm here.
Yes, I know. The census. I have no children of my own.
Who lives here with you?
As I said, I'm a widower.
No maidens?
Why should I lie to you?
I suppose it would be foolish. What man would give up a chance to be the king's father-in-law?
Who, indeed?
Make a note of it. The house of Mordecai. No maiden. What's this?
That? It's a sandal.
Yeah, I can see that. Whose sandal is it?
Oh, mine, of course.
Yours?
You're thinking that it's very small. Well, I didn't mean that I wear it, only that it belongs to me. It has a sentimental
value. All right. Where is she?
You mustn't jump to...
Do I have to tear the walls down to find it?
No, here I am.
Now, for all the trouble you've given me, I ought to... You have a pretty face, girl.
Try to reconcile yourself, Esther. You see how things happen.
I don't want it to happen to me.
It doesn't matter what you want. Come along to the palace.
Now, the king will be here in a very short time, girl, so listen to me very carefully. You two stop fighting! Now, listen! I'll give you some good advice. Don't pinch your cheeks or bite your lips to make them red. Don't pose like a statue. Don't wiggle and don't coquette. Just be natural and let the king choose. Oh, here he comes.
Stop those trumpets. I cannot take a step without trumpets.
Welcome, your majesty. Your loyal...
Never mind the formalities, Chamberlain. Just get on with what has to be done.
I'm sorry, sire, to see that you're still irritable.
Oh, I'm sorry, too. I've been irritable ever since Queen Vashti is gone.
About the late Queen Vashti, I did warn you not to make a hasty decision.
Well, did you indeed? Well, I don't need a chamberlain to give me warning. Your duty is to keep me from doing things I'll be sorry for.
But, sorry.
Stop spluttering and let's begin.
Very well. Your Majesty, here before you are the most beautiful maidens in all the kingdom.
Yeah.
Choose your wife and queen. This one, perhaps?
No.
This one?
Not this one. No, that one or the next. No. Just send them all home, Chamberlain.
Well, if you would only look more closely, Your Majesty.
I said send them. Wait. Oh, that girl on the end. She hides her face. She turns her back. How graceful. How charming. How captivating. What nonsense. I won't say these lines. Stage manager, I won't say these lines.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, remain in your seats. Please be calm.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, I will not be laughed at unnecessarily.
But nobody's laughing at you.
Oh, no wonder everybody takes me for a fool. The lines you give me to say.
What's wrong with the lines?
What's wrong? That girl, just look at her. She pulls her hair over her face, crosses her eyes, twists her body, and you want me to look at her and say, how graceful, how charming, how captivating.
And that makes you seem a fool?
Of course it does.
Come on,
doesn't it?
Oh, an ordinary man would certainly think the girl plain, if not ugly. But you, Ahasuerus, you are able to see beneath the grimaces and distortions. Your keen perception detects the grace and beauty that cannot be hidden.
It does? Well, I mean, when you put it that way, she is rather pretty.
Oh, that's better. All right, let the show go on. The things are strange, my dear.
Yes, he's right, Esther. You are beautiful, I mean.
Do I find favor in your majesty's eyes?
Give me your hand, Esther. Now, come, don't be shy. You see, Chamberlain, how simply she stands, so graceful, so charming, so captivating.
I am unworthy, sire.
So modest. Well, what are you waiting for, Chamberlain? Order a feast, send for the musicians.
Please, you must believe me, your majesty.
Your majesty? Esther, my dear, is that how you address your loving husband?
And it came to pass that the king loved Esther above all the women, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen. And her uncle Mordecai came every day to sit in the gate of the palace to be of comfort to Esther if she needed comfort.
You are well, Esther? Esther?
Do you know what I was thinking, Mordecai? I was trying to remember my house. Your house, where I used to live.
It is not important to remember a house.
Ah, I have almost forgotten.
Are you unhappy, my dear?
Sometimes I'm a little lonely. But King Ahasuerus is kind and very generous. Today he gave me 2 cities.
Oh, he must be very fond of you.
Do you think so? Then why do I see him so seldom?
You must remember that a king is very busy with affairs of state.
A king has chamberlains to do his work. Oh, that's the signal. I must go back.
May God go with you.
You will be here again tomorrow.
If you want me to, Esther.
Oh, I'm not afraid anymore. It's not on that account.
I'm glad, my dear.
It's not only because I don't want to forget you. I don't want to forget my people.
Mordecai sat often in the gate of the palace, and it happened that one day 2 courtiers came and stood close by and spoke together in secret tones.
Remember, there's no turning back once we decide.
I've decided. Ahasuerus must go.
Good. Then we shall get rid of him. Now, this is what we'll do.
Well, go on.
We are being spied upon. Look there.
Where?
There. The Jew sitting in the gate of the palace.
I see him.
He must have heard us.
What of it? Jews speak no language but their own.
All the same, I'll make sure. You there! You've been eavesdropping.
Rashaim, Hamsanim, Bozaitim, Matem.
See? What did I tell you? He doesn't understand a word.
I must tell Esther at once. What did you say?
Shum dada.
Ha! I don't trust him, I tell you.
Come on, we're wasting time. At this rate, King Ahasuerus will die of old age.
Well, so the minute you heard about it, you came directly to me, Esther. Oh, how touching.
It was my duty, sire. They plotted against the life of my king.
Uh-oh. Your concern was only for your king, not for your husband.
Was that wrong, your majesty?
No, of course not. Esther, my sweet, could not even a very tiny portion of your concern have been for your husband?
But, sire, a dutiful wife always has thoughts of her husband. Are you ill?
No, my dear. Only you are so remarkably dutiful. Chamberlain, I have come to a decision.
Oh, no, Your Majesty, not again. 2 queens...
What are you talking about? Oh, never mind. Now, listen. I have been neglecting Esther.
Oh, would you like me to find a suitable gift? Another city? Perhaps a whole province would be nice.
Well, trifles. But besides, that's not what I mean. I have spent too little time with her. Of course, I've been so busy with... What have I been busy with, Chamberlain?
A king's time is not his own.
Exactly. Oh, you put it so well. Well, therefore, I've decided to find someone to lighten my burden.
Oh, I see what's in your mind.
I'll make him prince over all the lords, second only to me.
And I approve, at the risk of seeming immodest.
I know just the man.
But modesty must give way to duty.
I want you to go notify him at once. You're sputtering again.
But here I am. I mean, notify whom?
The man I've chosen. The son of Hamadatha the Agagite.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is not an intermission, please. While the stagehands are changing the scenery, a little less noise back there. I was saying... Oh, yes. I must tell you about this son of Hamadatha, whose name, of course, was Haman. You promised. Thank you. Now, it came to pass that King Ahasuerus set Haman above all the princes, and the people in all the city of Shushan bowed down before Haman when he passed. But when he walked through the gates of the palace, he saw one who remained erect, and Haman spoke unto him.
Good morning, Mordecai.
I will bow down to no...
Stop ad-libbing and give me my cue.
It's an unusually fine morning, isn't it?
What are you up to?
You speak your lines, I'll take care of mine.
Stage manager, did you hear him?
Of course I heard. What's the meaning of this,
Heyman? Oh, now, don't get excited. My role can stand a little improvement.
What are you saying? The words were written long ago. The action is determined.
Well, still, just consider. You expect me to order Mordecai to bow down before me, before Heyman, second only to the king, right?
I will not do it.
Well, naturally not. You're a Jew. You bow down only to God. Therefore, I will not insist.
You see, stage manager, how he twists and turns and falsifies like the devil himself.
Heyman, you can't change your character.
I have no desire to do so, but I'm not a fool. If Mordecai should this instant kind of throw himself at my feet...
Never!
Then... Well, all right, then. But what's the use of me growing red in the face and making angry threats?
No use at all.
Yeah, well, all right. I will only tell you, Mordecai... that you will live long enough to know regret.
I am not frightened, Heyman.
And perhaps not only you, perhaps many people, your own people, will regret your stubbornness.
Your Majesty, I need the benefit of your wisdom.
My wisdom? Well, that's a very nice thing to say, Heyman.
Suppose a king's subjects do not give the respect due him. What then?
Oh, he must insist on it. I haven't noticed any lack of respect to my person.
But, sire, do I not represent your person?
you're a sly one. I've heard the stories that are going around Shushan. Yes.
This is no laughing matter, Your Majesty.
Oh, well, don't be so touchy, Heyman.
Well, if the Jews fail to pay the proper respect...
They pay their taxes, don't they?
It is because they have their own customs, their own laws, different from your laws. And that's a great danger.
Oh, do you really think so? Well, then we must explain to them. I am a great believer in education, Heyman.
I have spoken to them, sire, with great forbearance.
Then you must speak to them again.
Well, there comes a time, when a king, like a teacher or a father, must go beyond words and chastise his children.
Oh, you make it sound very educational, Heyman. What do you have in mind?
Well, I've taken a liberty of preparing a decree which you may want to glance over, Your Majesty.
Oh, you're very helpful, Heyman. To the governors of all the provinces, to the princes over the people, let it be known that... Heyman, don't you think this is rather drastic?
Well, to protect this kingdom, a ruler must sometimes take drastic steps.
Oh, I suppose you're right.
Besides, you haven't read the last paragraph in which I offer to pay 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury.
10,000? Do you really... Oh, you are a great help to me, Heyman.
Now in every province in the kingdom, whithersoever the king's decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. Mordecai, in sackcloth and ashes, came to the gates of the palace to tell Esther how Haman had brought the Jews to destroy them utterly, young and old. And when he told her that she must go to the king for the sake of her people, she said unto him, "Where is Esther? Why isn't she on the stage?"
She's in her dressing room, Mr. Stage Manager. What's she doing there?
She opens the scene.
She says she doesn't care. She says she won't come out.
Well, I have some authority. I order her to come out.
I'm coming. I want you to understand, I'm not a bit angry.
Oh, you're not.
I don't mind acting the pretty young thing who doesn't know her own mind, if that's what you want.
It's not what I want that counts.
But beyond a certain point, I will not go.
You must go on.
You must, Esther, my dear, for the sake of your people.
I'm willing, Mordecai, but he wants me to say, no, I will not go to the king uncalled because he may put me to death on account of a foolish law. I refuse to act in so shallow and selfish a manner.
Still, if you go to the king, you do risk your life.
What of it? Shall I be safe when you are threatened with destruction?
Then what I ask you to do, it is no little thing.
I do it gladly, Mordecai. For you. For my people. The signal again.
Wait, Esther.
I must go now, Mordecai.
Then go and God go with you. Your people will remember you, Esther. As one who was not afraid.
But I am afraid. a little. It is a foolish law, but nevertheless a law. Yet, Ahasuerus has said that he loves me.
I do, my sweet Esther. You know I do.
How can I be sure, Your Majesty?
Well, ask whatever you desire, and you shall have it.
Anything, Your Majesty?
Even to have my kingdom.
I ask something more.
Hmm?
The life of Mordecai, who sits in the palace gates.
Mordecai? Oh, yes, of course, Mordecai. Oh, no doubt you think the foolish king has forgotten him.
But he is the man.
Well, perhaps I have forgotten, until I read in my court chronicles how it was he discovered the plot against me and saved my life. Who dares to threaten Mordecai?
Your second in command, the wicked Haman.
Well, is this how you treat the king's friend, Haman?
Your Majesty, Mordecai is the leader of the Jews who follow their own laws and defy your authority.
Don't change the subject. You will clothe Mordecai in royal garments and pay him the highest honors in the kingdom.
But...
Why am I afflicted with spluttering chamberlains? Now, do as I say. There now, Esther. Esther, are you still unhappy?
Because of Haman. Because of his decrees against Mordecai's people.
The queen has a tender heart, Your Majesty. She need not concern herself about a strange nation.
Strange? No, sire. They are not strange. Mordecai's people are my people.
See, Haman, the Jews are your people?
Yes, sire.
Well, why didn't you tell me, my dear? Oh, you and your decrees, Haman.
Well, it's a simple matter, sire. It has an easy solution. It's only necessary to declare Queen Esther, an honorary Persian.
My heart is a Jewish heart. Will you change that, too?
Now, don't upset yourself, Esther, my dear. Oh, Haman, you have gone too far.
But your royal ring sealed the decree, you may...
Stick to the point, Haman, which is clearly that you've done evil and must be punished. Mordecai!
I am here, Your Majesty.
From henceforth, I set you in Haman's place as prince over all the lords of the kingdom.
Oh, no. That is, it isn't necessary. As a matter of fact, my God...
I insist, Mordecai.
You do?
I do.
Then I am honored, sire.
And as your first official act, you will see that Haman is hanged to the gallows he built for you.
Oh, dear. Perhaps I'm not sufficiently bloodthirsty to be a prime minister. I was about to suggest that Haman be exiled.
Oh, no. His fate must serve as a lesson and a warning to all the evil Hamans of the future.
Is the lesson that evil must be punished, Your Majesty? Or is it that good is preserved?
Oh, that's an interesting question, Mordecai. We must discuss it someday, but for now I am pleased that everything ends so well.
In the name of my people, I thank Your Majesty.
Well, that thanks is for His Majesty the King, my lovely Esther, but what words do you have for your husband?
I am very happy, Ahasuerus.
It comes but once a year. A lovely day, a lovely story, and this is the end. Let the music play, let us dance and sing, for it is a happy end. And if, my dear people, there should sometime arise another Haman, do not despair. Only remember this, there is always Purim.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address for 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Joseph S. Wall, attorney, member of the Board of Directors of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and chairman of its development committee. Mr. Wall.
Jewish history from the destruction of the temple to the Holocaust provides few occasions for gladness and happy recollection. For this reason, the festival of Purim is unique in Jewish annals and is among the most enduring of all Jewish festivals. The story of Esther is reassuring to us in that it encompasses the most universal symbols of morality and reflects some of the greatest motifs in the history of mankind. Although the setting of this great biblical story is an ancient city and an ancient time, it continues to stand as an object lesson in moral behavior. The book of Esther offers us an insight into the psychology of prejudice. Haman symbolizes the irrational, unjustified condemnation of a whole group because of the alleged misdeeds of one member of that group. But, as is the fate of all evildoers, Haman is finally engulfed by his own wickedness. Evil cannot and does not endure. It contains within itself the seeds of its own destruction. The momentary conquests of the tyrant fall beneath the persistent faith and courage of the truly pious. Mordecai was such a man. His refusal to acknowledge the professed divinity of Haman, his fidelity to his ideals, brought down the wrath of the tyrant. The courage and faith of Mordecai and Esther were the decisive elements in this conflict of values. We know that evil spreads like disease, contaminating an entire community. But we often forget that good, quietly and pervasively, expands its influence over all humanity. Single individuals, strong in their ideals, succeed in uprooting the causes of evil. Thus, as we rejoice in the story of Esther, we reaffirm our belief in the power of good over evil. At this festival of Purim, we are reminded that we must hope and strive for the biblical ideal, the ultimate establishment of a society in which everyone will dwell together in peace.
Thank you, Mr. Wall. Eternal Light drama today, There Is Always Purim, was written by Joseph Mindell and was presented in observance of the Festival of Purim. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today were Marion Seldes as Esther, Guy Repp as Mordecai, Leon Janney as King Ahasuerus, and Ralph Bell as the wicked Haman. Others in the cast were Gilbert Mack, Ian Martin, and Ivor Francis. The stage manager was Roger DeCoven. We invite you to join us next week when the Eternal Light will present The Yiddish Press, An American Primer, written by Moses Rowell. This will be the third in the current series, A Yiddish Omnibus. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and is presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.